Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk. 201-939-4513. That's how you get into the action. Give us a call, and we'll talk Giants-Redskins as we get ready for the third game of the Giants season. They've started the year 2-0. The Redskins have started the year 0-2. And, Jeff, that is where we will begin because the Redskins are in a very precarious spot here.
They're 0-2.
Only one team since 1990 has made the playoffs after starting the season losing their first two games at home, and that's the 2003 Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles. And the odds become even worse if you start the year 0-3. So on a more broad way of looking at this game, the Redskins are going to be pretty darn desperate. You got to figure you are going to get their best effort.
Yep, and can't go 0-2 in the division either. It's tough. Started out that way.
They lost to Dallas last week.
Yeah, if they lose this game. But absolutely, because, you know, this team is hungry, and any 0-2 team for that matter, John, if it's, you know, the Cardinals or whoever, if they're 0-2, you're coming in to play. You gotta get back on the winning side of it. Luckily for the Giants, it's a home game for them, so, you know, the crowd can be good. They're coming off a good win last week, and just a lot of confidence for this Giants team. We've got a couple injuries that are kind of rearing their ugly head a little bit here and there. But, I mean, hopefully that those things will work themselves out and the guys can get in the lineup. But we'll see what happens.
And I guess the injuries are a good place to start, Jeff. Very good transition there. So at right tackle, let's start there. Marshall Newhouse has not practiced yet this week. Obviously, he has not been ruled out. We'll find out more later on today when the official injury report is released. I think it's a safe bet, though, to say it's probably doubtful he's going to go,
sure,
which means you're either going to have Will Beatty or, more likely, Bobby Hart, who got a lot of work out there at right tackle. What kind of impact do you think that's going to have on the Giants' offensive line? And do you think it will, in fact, be Bobby Hart that steps in for the injured Marshall Newhouse?
I think it will be Bobby Hart. I mean, you look at the way he played in the offseason, in the preseason, you're sitting there, oh, my gosh, whatever. But, you know, there is some – I think it'll be him, and I think, you know, obviously what he did last week in the game, I think he did some good things, and I think that he did some bad things, but that's just the way it is, and I just don't know, without being around and really talking to Will Beatty and the coaches to see where he's at physically and mentally and all that kind of stuff, but for the most part, I feel like, they were out there competing. I was listening to a little bit of Coach Mike's
Sullivan's
presser the other day, and just saying, hey, these guys are out there competing. They're not going to know until Sunday, but I think it'll be Bobby Hart, and I think they'll give him a little bit of help if he struggles. What
Very
I mean
good.
By that is a little tight end help.
Or a little running back
little
help
running
as well.
Running back chip help.
Number two, Rashad Jennings, one of those running backs that could provide the right tackle some help. He's dealing with an injured left thumb. It's been in a wrap. It's been in I don't know if it's actually a cast, but he's been – It's been
support.
Restricted, let me put it that way.
Yeah.
How is he going to play with it? He intends to play through it, Jeff.
He will.
But for a running back and ball security, the Giants had three fumbles last week. All three were lost. Frankly, that was surprising they won the game with all those mistakes. As a running back, how does Rashad Jennings play with that issue? Is he just going to hold it in his right hand no matter which way he's running? Then you can't put it in your outside hand, which is how most guys are coached. How does this impact him on the field?
Well, I think it's one of those things where you have to, you know, you have to practice with it to kind of understand how it's going to react and get, you know, they're not going to be hitting and stuff, but not so much the hitting. It's just handing off, taking the ball like this. You know, like you said, John, when you're running, you want to get that ball on the outside of towards the sideline, and you know that might have to be his left hand, and I think that you have to really emphasize on those, what they call the four points of the ball kind of sitting in here, right in here. But I think that he'll play. I think that they'll have Dark waiting in case something, you know, doesn't. If he starts fumbling the ball because of this, then we're going to see a change in the game.
And we might see Vereen in the second half, too. We might see Vereen in this game running the ball just like we saw him do it in the second half of last week's game.
And it kind of brings you to think about, will at least this be the game that Rainey is active if they have to use Vereen as a more of a running back? I know he's a running back, but you know what I'm saying, more carries if he has
right.
to.
And I'll tell you what, Jeff, watching the Redskins on tape, I watched every defensive snap they took this morning against the Cowboys last week. They got destroyed by the play-action pass. Dak Prescott had so many easy throws to tight ends off a play action sweep one way. He rolls out the other way. The tight end leaks out. He hits him. And the Cowboys tight ends had about 50 to 60 yards after catch on those. I mean, Jason Witten had a 27-yarder, I think. Jeff Swaim had almost 25 yards. I mean, these aren't guys that are, you know, running 4-4 40s here.
Right.
But, you know, again, maybe they're not going to be as susceptible because, you know, the Cowboy running game
right,
more
exactly.
of a threat than the Giants running game. So that's part of it, too.
No question.
But if the Giants can get that running game going and force the Redskins to respect it, based on what they did last week, they're going to be very susceptible to play action.
And you kind of sit there, okay, how are they going to get their running game going? You got an injured right tackle. It's not your starter's not going to play. You've got an injured running back. That's no excuse. They've got to get it going. And more importantly, they have to be better in the run game. But also, they have to get better in this turnover. I mean, this cannot be an Achilles heel for this team going forward this season because, you know, you're going to lose your share of games when you're losing the turnover battle. They got lucky last week. 3 in the first half coming out of that game. And it just so happens that the Saints aren't that good of a team outside that stupid dome that they play in, and that the defense played really well and the special teams got them a touchdown.
A couple other notes, too, on that offensive line. Eli Manning has been hit just 3 times this season.
That's incredible. That's
fewest
awesome.
Times among all NFL quarterbacks. Hey, so a very good start. Now, again, you talk about the opponents. The Saints and the Cowboys don't exactly have ferocious pass rushes. And
correct.
The Redskins
correct.
Are, I believe, tied for 8th in the league this year. They have 5 sacks through 2 games. So they're going to be a little bit more of a challenge here, especially with Ryan Kerrigan lining up over a potential backup right tackle. So that's a little bit more of a challenge now for this Giants yeah. offensive line to protect Eli Manning.
That's going to be a really interesting matchup.
Ooh,
because he
that
can
could
play.
Be the matchup of the game.
A couple years ago, he just physically destroyed the offensive
yep.
line. Kerrigan did, and I you know, so, and that's why I mentioned that, you know, if they see Bobby Hart struggling, you know, and going into the game, they have it in their game plan to get him a little bit of help somehow. They will. But they certainly have to be able to run the football in order to set up for that play-action pass because, you know, this Giants offense with those receivers, if you can get the play-action pass going, you're going to have a nice day. And really, when you think about Eli only getting hit 3 times, that's remarkable. And I tell you, if I'm Eli Manning, thank you.
The other injury, by the way, we should mention, Darian Thompson was added
oh, sure,
to the
yep.
injury list with
well,
the foot. They'll get to do further examination, but it looks like he's not going to play this week. And I guess it's a good thing now that Nat Burhey got all that extra work in the preseason when Thompson had the shoulder. He should be able to come in with some confidence. So I'm sure the Redskins will challenge him down the field with DeSean Jackson and with Jordan Reed down the seam. They like to run a lot of those, you know, either guys all going down the seams, Jeff, and they make the safeties choose, and then they'll pick either the receiver or the tight end. But when they're all going straight down the field, the simplest
yep.
routes you can ever run. It's just
right.
everybody runs straight, and you figure it out.
You draw it up in the sand.
And then the second thing they like to do is to draw those players across the field, and they like to get DeSean Jackson at the space that way, and that's going to be a big challenge to the Giants linebackers and safeties to be disciplined on those long crosses to make sure they're where they need to be so the Redskins don't get those catches in yards after catch.
And it's interesting, you know, we get these stats to look at and stuff for our preparation. This kind of really shot out to me about this run-pass ratio that the Redskins are using. You know, last year they were 53% and 46%, 46%
yep.
being the run attempts. This year they're at 70, almost 76% passing, 24% running. Don't be surprised, because they're 0-2, because the struggles of Cousins, that this Redskins team comes in here and tries to pound the football against. By the way, I think the Giants are only giving up 74 yards rushing a game. So it's not going to be that easy just to say, hey, okay, guys, we're just going to flip the switch and start running the football. But more importantly, the Redskins have not run the ball very well. They'll probably try to get back to that.
You know what the funny thing is, though, Jeff? Jones hasn't run it that poorly. He's
but
averaging more than 4 yards per carry, but for some reason, like you said,
yeah.
the Redskins have simply not committed to the running game. And it's not like they've been down in these games. They were close at Pittsburgh in the first half, then the game did get away from them. But against Dallas, they had the lead in the fourth quarter. So it's not like they were incapable of running it because of game situations.
Yeah,
they just have not committed to the run the same way they did last season. At the end of the year, in their final 8 games, you mentioned they went 6-2, ran it 47% of the time. It's way down.
And also, you know, you go back and you look at the situational football. You know, when was Redskins down in the game? What were they trying to do? Of course, that makes a big difference when it talks about percentages. But, you know, really, they're going to try to get their run game going, and just to kind of get take a little pressure off of Kirk Cousins because you know, he has not looked well at all, particularly has not played good.
Well, another great transition, Jeff, and I want to go
transition.
Through this now.
With, we're all about good transitions.
With Kirk Cousins, you mentioned the Giants' turnover ratio, which is second worst in the league. Me and Lance talked a lot about this on Tuesday. They're minus four. The Bucs are minus six. Yet the Giants are still 2-0, which is a really good sign for the season. But the Redskins are also dramatically impacted by these types of situational football things. Two big numbers I think can impact this game. One, the Redskins are 3-14 when Kirk Cousins throws one or more interceptions. The Redskins are 8-2 when Cousins does not throw an interception. Very important numbers to keep an eye on, Jeff, in this game. Keeping them out of the end zone in the red zone and also taking the ball away. And Kirk Cousins already has three picks this year.
And, you know, we talk a lot about the offense turning the ball over, too. We must also talk about the defense not taking it away either.
Right.
And so, you know, if you can get Cousins to turn the ball over and it just goes with all the numbers, the game can turn into a win for the Giants and force him to make mistakes.
Well, Jeff, real quick, we have a new interactive poll question I want to get to here, and this goes to takeaways, so I want to throw this out there, but it's up on the Giants app if you're watching on the Giants mobile app. Who do you think should cover DeSean Jackson the most in this game, Janoris Jenkins or Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie? Those are your two choices.
Okay. Well, I think Jenkins, definitely. He's on the field more, and he's their number one corner. I mean, DRC is no longer the number one corner on this team. He's playing all kinds of different positions. Not all kinds, but he's either outside or inside. You know, pretty much Jenkins is your number one guy. You're going to put him on the number one receiver. That's what's going to happen.
201-939-4513. We'll get to that and a lot more right here on Giants.com today. A couple of the numbers real quick, Jeff, I want to go through. I think we hit a lot of the important ones, but the one matchup that everyone's been talking about this week that we haven't talked about
Which one?
Of course, the Odell Beckham Jr., Josh Norman thing.
Yeah.
And I think everybody hopes that this is more of a football matchup than it is what happened last year. And I think both players hope that, too. I think they're tired of talking about it, but we'll see what happens out there on the field. Last year, real quick, and this is according to Next Gen Stats, Odell Beckham, when covered by Josh Norman last year, was targeted six times, had four catches for 30 yards and a touchdown. Of those two incompletions in that statistical formula I just gave you, one was that 50-yard bomb that Beckham simply dropped that could have turned into another touchdown, which would make those stats look very, very different. And Norman covered Beckham on 22 of the 47 pass plays last year. One other note, folks, I want to hit you with. News out of Washington earlier this week, if it's to be believed, is that Josh Norman is going to follow Beckham all over the field except when he's in the slot. Now, last year, Beckham played in the slot a bit more than he has this year. This year, Beckham has been in the slot just eight times, and he's lined up outside more than 100 times. So he has not been in the slot an awful lot. We'll see how the two teams utilize their two stars on the perimeter in this game this week.
Well, yeah, and then you hear about, okay, so now the team's 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
Their best shutdown corner, per se, big money guy. Not shadowing the best receiver in the last 2 weeks in those games. We got to win a game. Is this the game? Do we do it? Well, it sounds like they're going to do it. So if you're the Giants, all right, that's fine. So why don't we do this? If you're going to play him, not going to play him in the slot, let's line him outside and bring him into the slot. Does he still go with them? I don't know. We'll find out. Matchups.
And Bashaud Breeland had a lot of issues last week against Dallas. Now, looking at the tape, I looked at it again. A lot of those plays, Dez was catching those, like, really deep in cuts, and it looked like Breeland was playing his outside responsibility. He was trying to funnel him into that safety area where you could have either the deep safety or, like, the safety in that robber position. But he still gave up a lot of catches. And they're not letting him. You know, I think Breeland plays his best football, Jeff, when he's able to get on the line of scrimmage, get hands on you, and be physical and aggressive. They had him in a lot of off coverage in that game last week, and he just didn't seem to know what to do with it.
Yeah, and a lot of times, when it goes into game planning, we talk about matchups and stuff. There's a lot of teams that will actually, and this is the Bill Belichick theory, is that take the number one cornerback and put him on the number two receiver, and then take the two, then double their number one guy. You know, so there's some other philosophies that go into it. That's why these coaches get paid big bucks to come up with these kinds of things. But we could see a little bit of that actually on both sides of both teams. You know, there you may have to see who's going to cover DeSean Jackson. All right, you want Jenkins on there? All right, well maybe we put Jenkins on Crowder or somebody else like that, and then put two guys on Deshaun Jackson. Now, Deshaun Jackson, he's not going to hurt you on the little stuff, because he's going to hurt you on, and he has hurt the Giants over the years on the deep ball. And he's probably one of the most prolific deep ball catchers in the history, because he has a lot of them. I know I was reading those through there. I can't, off the top of my head, there was a statistic in there about how many deep balls he's caught over his career. It's quite a lot.
Deshaun Jackson is one of four players with five receiving touchdowns of 50 or more yards against the Giants.
Yeah, well.
So there you go. Along with Mel Gray, Bob Hayes, Ollie Mattson, and Tommy McDonald.
Wow. And not to mention one walk-off punt return for a touchdown, too.
Yeah, I don't think Giant fans want to be reminded of that. Lance and I actually had this conversation on the air at the end of Tuesday's show. Is he the most hated, current, in-action, still-playing NFL player for Giant fans?
He's got to be, right?
It's got to be him. Like, LeSean McCoy's probably in the mix.
Yeah, but see, LeSean McCoy, in my mind, wasn't as cocky as he is, you know, or
see,
is.
And I agree. And somebody else brought up Jason Witten on Tuesday. I'm like, Jason Witten doesn't.
He just does it.
Jason Witten sticks you with the knife,
yeah,
but he doesn't twist
right.
it. Deshaun gets you with the knife, and then he moves it around in there.
You know, Witten says, it's going to hurt, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then he wants, Deshaun, this is going to really hurt. Watch this. And just drive, you know. I mean, yeah, he gets I hated kicking to that guy. I really did.
And that's why you didn't kick to him a whole lot.
Well, I tried to kick it away from him every single time, but you know, he's just got to, you got to get on him. And
yeah,
and he's, so you got, I mean, you talk about yappers. You got Josh Norman, who's a yapper. You got Deshaun Jackson, who's probably the biggest yapper in the NFL. I'm telling you.
You know, it's funny.
Can I tell you a quick story?
No, please. I love it.
His rookie year, we're playing in pregame warmups, and I'm punting, and he's coming over to me, and he's talking trash to me. And I'm sitting there going, I knew who he was, but I didn't know at the point that he was going to ever be that good. But he's just sitting there yapping at me, and I finally told him, I said, dude, get away from me. A couple other words, you rookie, you know, he's just, but that's the way he does. He just comes up and just tries to start intimidating you. You know, he's telling me, hey, I'm going to take a back on you today. I'm taking two back on you today. We're going to block one on you. I'm like, get this guy out of here. Who are you? You know?
Jeff Eagles cannot be intimidated.
No, I wasn't intimidated by him. Maybe later I was a little bit after I knew what he could do, but not that
don't
day.
Don't say that out loud. You don't want to hear that.
No, I was never, I wasn't so much intimidated. I just knew what he could do, but, you know, I had to neutralize it by just not ever letting him get this thing right here in his hands.
I have some other notes, too, from film work. I'll get to it over the course of the show.
A lot of film work out of the Schmelkster today.
This year I'm trying to watch
film?
The game film of the team's prior game. That's what I'm trying to do.
Good.
And I got through all the Redskins' offensive plays, and I got through about 75% of their defensive plays.
And the coach tape is a good way to do that.
And it is.
Quick.
And what I like to do, I like to watch the broadcast copy first.
Right.
Because it gives you a feel for the game and what the announcers are talking about. They get that from their production meeting with the coaches before they do the game,
right,
like we did during the preseason.
Yep.
So I feel like they'll give you the larger themes, and then when you look at the coaches' tape, you look for those themes when you watch the tape to see how much they are true
or not. They're like cliff notes.
Right, exactly.
The broadcast is the cliff notes for you.
All right, let's do the calls, folks. 201-939-4513. Our next question coming up at 2:20. Will the Giants get their first takeaway this week? If it's not on now, we'll be in about 30 seconds. Yes or no? And then on the vote, who should the Giants have covered? Deshaun Jackson, 60% say Janoris Jenkins, 40% say Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie.
That's high.
Morrissey's got the speed.
Yeah. That's weird. I mean, I thought it would be a little bit more skewed than that.
And to note, by the way, watching some of that tape, Cousins had three pretty wide open receivers deep down the field against Dallas last week. Missed all three. He hit one, Josh Doxson, on a blown coverage. And
with pressure?
Underthrown.
No.
I mean, Jamison Crowder had a good 5 yards.
You know what, though?
Deshaun Jackson had 3 or 4 yards. And Jeff, he had a clean pocket, and he just flat overthrew all three guys. He was fairly accurate in the short to intermediate range. He did throw that one bad interception to Barry Church in the end zone. But down the field, the accuracy wasn't really there.
Well, I that scares me a little bit. I mean, you know, Cousins is a streaky guy.
Yes, he is.
And when all of a sudden, you know, you go into a game planning for a week coming off your 0-2, trying to loosen things up a little bit, I think the coaches in their mind are going to say, hey, listen, you know, Kirk, we got to try to get you a way to calm down a little bit and get some confidence going. That could be trouble.
And I'll tell you what, I'm not surprised either that people said that, oh, there was some like lack of confidence in the locker room with the quarterback and things like that. The body language by the wide receivers after Cousins made some of those inaccurate throws and missed them open.
I can just imagine.
The body language is not great. And it wasn't just DeSean Jackson. It was Pierre Garçon. He had a couple little motions. And it's just, you know, you can kind of get that look of frustration with the way the guy gets up and goes back to the huddle after some of these throws. I'm not surprised that some people said that the team was somewhat unhappy with what was going on.
And really, when you think about Jay Gruden, he had to nip that in the bud pretty quick.
And he did.
And because that can start to go a little bit rampant.
Well, especially after what happened with RG3 2 years ago.
No question. Yeah, I mean, you talk about history. That's it. But I think he's a little bit more respected. But I feel like, you know, he is at this situation where he's got that 1 year, you know, franchise tag. He's making X amount of dollars trying to work for that contract. That works, in my opinion, against him because he's trying too hard.
He is. He's pressing.
And I feel like, you know, when you're able to do anything, and this goes for anything, John, if you're able to relax and just really focus on what you have to do and not worry about what's going to happen, you play a lot better. But when you're thinking, I always say in golf, you know, you think long, you play wrong. I've talked about guys that stand over the stupid golf ball for like 3 minutes before they hit it. It's like, dude, swing the club.
I can be one of those guys sometimes, and I hate doing it, but you just get lost in your own head. It's
exactly.
A big problem.
Yeah. You take the brain out of the game is what they say. You know, don't think so much. Just react. You're a football player. You're a professional quarterback for a professional football team. You know, hopefully he can think really a lot this Sunday for the Giants' purposes, but I don't know. Sometimes that can happen to
pro athletes.
You
know, Jeff, your transitions today have been fantastic. Because now we're going to go to the guy that likes to react and maybe not think so much, and that's Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Charlie, or good afternoon. Might be morning where you live.
You're never the first guy up, Charlie. What's going on?
Charlie?
Charlie, you're there.
Oh, another rare moment. Charlie doesn't want to speak.
Oh, there he is. I was going to say, we have rendered Charlie silent. I was going to like.
He's like he came out of a soup can. Are you there?
No, I had it on mute. I don't know why. But
that's all right.
We've had you on mute many times.
We're doing great, Charlie. How are you?
Hey, I just got to do a shout out because on Anita and Kyle Banks was on had a show on Monday. And this gentleman, Bob from Pennsylvania, offered me a ticket to see the Giants when they played Detroit on December 18th, and I just want to tell them I will take it and I will be there.
Wow! Big Blue kickoff bringing people together, and I feel real bad for Bob in Pennsylvania that he's sitting next to you.
I feel real bad for us if you're going to come to the game. You're going to come see us?
Oh, I will look you up.
All right.
I learned a couple things. First thing is like Cousins is a streaky guy. That's why we have to get at him early.
Yep.
But also, this dude has got a 75% completion rating. So, I mean, this guy has been hitting his passes, but he's just threw a couple interceptions that kind of
in the red zone. Yeah.
So, this dude has been playing pretty well, except for those few interceptions. And yeah, Jeff, you were talking about Bobby Hart. There's no way Bobby Hart should be starting this game. Right tackle. He is listed as the swing guard. And there's a reason for that. He isn't a right tackle. He had opportunity all summer to beat out Newhouse, and he couldn't do it. And so they realized that his best position is guard. And so if we have to put him out there at tackle with Kerrigan, and they're going to do stunts and schemes and twists, this dude is going to be lost.
Don't you think the coaching staff would put out the guy that they thought was the best player at right tackle for the Giants this week?
Well, it should be Beattie.
How do you know that, though?
Thinking.
How do you know that? You haven't seen Will Beattie play a snap of football in two seasons.
Look, John, sometimes when ego arrives, wisdom leaves.
What
and
ego?
I think there's a lot of ego involved with Will Beattie being on this team and cutting him, and is he better? I mean, if he comes out there and plays the way Beattie should play, there's going to be a lot of egg on some GM's face for cutting him in the first place.
Why? So, Charlie, it's the same GM that brought him back.
Yeah.
At a lesser cost, too.
What is he listed as? He's listed as the swing tackle. he should be playing this week. And, Jeff, you were saying, well, if Hart can't handle it, then we'll have to chip. We'll have to bring a tight end over. What tight end on our team can actually block?
Well, if you've been watching much of the Giants, they don't run a lot of dual tight ends. They're in that 11 personnel for, 95% of the time. Listen, you know what? Coach McAdoo, in his right mind, is not going to tip his hat to who's going to be playing that position. It may well be Beatty. I don't know. I'm just, in my opinion, from what I've seen and how things are going and just the way that this team has worked in the past, it's going to be Bobby Hart. But, you know, I haven't been out of practice. I don't really know how well Will Beatty is doing. Is he ready? Is he ready to play football? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. All I can remember is a Jacksonville coach who offered him a contract said that Beatty looked great, and that was like months ago. So to me, somebody was saying this dude is, you know, pretty close to playing, if not ready to play. So I would rather have a veteran who knows the stunts and knows the twists, and he's not going to get fooled, and, you know, maybe he's going to have a little rust, but he's going to be able to pick up those things.
Sure.
And against Kerrigan, Hart is not he isn't a tackle. He is a guard. So I'm hoping they're smart enough to put Beatty in there. I'm hoping. Or at least activate him so when Hart is like...
Well, he'll be active. Charlie, I guarantee you, if Newhouse is inactive, Will Beatty will be active because you have to have a second backup offensive lineman.
Good. And the other thing is, why are we going to play Jennings, who's got like a thumb that's going to be sticking up in the air, and we're going to be... he's going to be trying to hold on to the ball? I mean, come on. I mean, really? I mean, I would rather see... Dark in there or somebody else. Why would you do that? I don't get it. I hope he doesn't play. I hope he sits and they use him as a backup in case something happens. But
all right,
that's a hard transition. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And before Charlie moved on to Beatty, I thought he made a good point about Cousins, Jeff, and I'll touch on that first. You know, Kirk Cousins' overall numbers, 65% completion percentage, 693 yards in two games, 8 yards of completion, one touchdown, and the three interceptions is what hurts you. And Charlie mentioned the red zone, and this is a big reason that the Redskins are struggling. I just gave the stats on Twitter. I'll give them to you now, too. Kirk Cousins' red zone production, Jeff. Last year in the red zone, he was 50 of 78, 64% completion percentage, 22 touchdowns, and zero interceptions.
Mm.
This year in the red zone, in just two games, again, small sample size, 5 of 17, 29% completion percentage, one touchdown, two picks, and a 19 quarterback rating.
19.
That's not good.
That's lower than mine. That's pretty bad. Mine was 36.
Well, that's because you didn't throw any interceptions.
Right. Never had a chance.
So that's a big reason why the Redskins are struggling, their inability to do a good job and finish in the red zone.
And like we were kind of talking a little bit, being streaky, you know, we'd be talking differently if he hadn't thrown those interceptions in the red zone, you know. But I mean, those are crucial times, and you can't make those mistakes and think that you're going to win games down there. And if you look at the way the scores of these games, you know, 23-27 against Dallas. I mean, Pittsburgh game 16-38. I mean, that was kind of a butt whooping there, but. You know, the Dallas game is closer than it's real close. Those two turnovers in the end zone or in the red zone gets him maybe one of the touchdown there. The game's a little bit different. But I think that, you know, really for him, like I said earlier, I think it really matters about putting a game plan together for this guy and letting him just, you know, try to take a little pressure off him. That's by running the football. Now, we haven't talked a lot about Jordan Reed. I'm sure that people are going to bring him up. But
yeah, he's good.
Listen, 2 years ago, watching this guy, it was just like, okay, the first year, we're like, okay, this guy's pretty good. Then the second year, we were like, I was like, who is this guy? He's amazing.
If he can stay healthy, and he's been healthy the last couple years.
Yeah, I mean, he really has done well. So the Giants have got to be able to pay attention to him, definitely.
Our question at 220, will the Giants get their first takeaway this week? 86% say yes, 14% say no. Our new question for 1230, bottom of the hour. Will Odell Beckham Jr. lead all players in yards from scrimmage? That might just be a preview of Fact or Fiction this week on our pregame show on Sunday.
I immediately thought that. But it wasn't that close to one of the questions that we had last week, I think.
Yeah, I know.
So we can't have a repeat question, but we can have it on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Well, we can have repeat questions. It's a new game, new circumstance.
Okay.
Right?
I guess so. I mean, you make the questions up. You can do whatever you want. That's your thing. My take on that one, will Beckham lead all players in yards from scrimmage?
Actually, I don't believe that. I believe my question for Sunday is, will Beckham lead the Giants in receptions and receiving yards? I think that's my question for this week.
Both. That's the see, you got to read those questions carefully before you go making your answers.
You
see, and I think that's why DeTino struggles with the over and under stuff. He doesn't read the questions completely.
Yeah, I think he took it to us on the first 2 weeks, right? Am I wrong about that?
I don't keep track until I see him on Sunday.
All right, well, see you on Sunday. Mark in New York. He's been holding the longest. Mark on line 4. How are you, buddy?
How you guys doing?
Doing well, Mark. What's up?
All right. I think that Odell's going to have a good year, but I don't think he's going to have a big year like the other 2 years his prior years, because he's got a lot of help now.
Yeah, and Mark, and you know what? That's fine. I don't think that's a bad thing. If instead of having 120 catches for 1,700 yards, he has 96 catches for 1,350 yards, that's fine. Who cares?
Yeah.
Now, get this. This is me being a little greedy. I think his extra catches, like, you know, because he's probably going to be able to save a little juice, you know? I think that's all playoff worthy. That's just me. But I'm not trying to get ahead of anything. You know, that's just how I feel. Like, with extra help, you know, a guy like Odell in the playoffs would be sensational with, like, nice little young legs kind of going on, you know? You know, you don't want to have him hit a wall, you know, because he's never really made to play, like, 20 games or something like that. I'm thinking 20 games already in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Hey,
I do. I hear you, Mark. And by the way, one other quick number. Michael Eisen will be posting this next later on today in his Friday stats column, but he gave me permission to use it on the show.
Ooh.
Sterling Shepard's 9 catches, or is he have 11 catches through two games? He has 11 catches,
11.
I think, right? His 11 catches through two games are the most receptions by a Giants player in his first two games in the history of the franchise.
More than Beckham his first two games, huh?
Yeah, remember he was coming off that hamstring? He only like 4 catches or so against the Falcons in his first game.
11 receptions.
Think, yeah, 11 receptions.
He's number one in the NFL at 117 yards receiving out of the slot.
Right, so there you have it.
Good for him.
I kind of think that we're letting defenses off the hook, and here's why. I'm going to get off after this.
Sure.
I love Jennings, but I think he's the kind of guy that you want inside the 20. Like, he's like, to me, he's my Jacobs. And the way I like to see us slide on the field, with, like, we always have like an advantage giving the defense a disadvantage. I like the way Vereen works. I like that it's not even a pass-happy kind of offense, because if a little dink to him, he's going to get you 3 or 4, and you can still run the ball. You know what I mean?
So, well, Mark, I don't disagree, but Rashad Jennings is a good receiver out of the backfield, too, when he doesn't have a broken hand.
I like him in the red zone is why I said that. I like that while having a fresh legs conversation. It's a long haul, long season. I don't just want him in the game that he gets tired and Vereen comes in. And I like they say, use him for situational. When you ask him who's starting the linebacker, it depends on what the situation is. Well, I'm not trying to say starting. I wanted to delete the word starting for a second. For inside the 20, I would like to see Vereen 100% down the field. When we get to the red zone, I'd like to see, you know what, I'd also pair Vereen with Ty, and I would like to see Donnell and Jennings inside the red, which is like, to us, that's money. That's money.
All right, Mark.
I just want to get in where I fit in with that one.
No problem.
One more funny thing to say. I like to see 00 change his number to 7 so I can get on some James Bond stuff with him.
That's not bad. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Well, I think he makes good points, but I really think it all really depends on that offensive line.
He should be number 70 then, 00, because you can't be 7 as a defensive end. You have to be 70.
You have to be – oh, did he – I thought he said 70.
Well, no, he wants him to be 7 for 00.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's not
seven.
Like college.
So he has to be 70, which is close.
Yeah, you can't do it. College you can, you know, but not the pros.
Right.
But back to his run, I mean, I can see his point, but I think the offensive line has just got to do a little better job run blocking, and then I think that he would be fine with either way.
And my feel is the reason Jennings wasn't in on those goal line situations end the game last week was because of the hands.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And they'd already turned the ball over. You don't want to take a chance down in there.
Were you surprised they didn't put Darkwin? to try to power it in from the one rather than stick Wolverine.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people will say, well, you know, this can Dark will really power it in. He can. He hits the hole hard.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think we will see a little bit more of him this week. They tried a little bit more last week. They didn't do a great job at it, but I think we'll see a little bit more out of Darkwa.
Jason in Denmark. He joins us next. Jason, how are you, buddy? Welcome back.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Well, Jason, how about you?
I'm doing great. Hey, I got two things today. I know Coach Coughlin used to be, you know, pretty hard when people lose the ball, and seeing that the first two games we kind of had a few times where we lost the ball. How is Ben McAdoo as far as disciplining the players when they lose the ball? Because, you know, sometimes it can be a little hard and then we go a little thin. But I'm not sure how he does that.
Well, I'm not sure how he disciplines the players, Jason, but I can tell you this. One of the three basic tenets of Ben McAdoo's philosophy is protecting the Duke, and the Duke is obviously the football. During the spring and summer, they ran three drills an awful lot. It was called the LT drill, which is tackling, the SNE drill, which is blocking, two basic tenets of football, and then the third drill was protect the Duke, which is, you know, recovering fumbles, holding it correctly, trying to strip the ball out,
and the importance
of the football. So, Jeff, this coach, trust me, has carried on from Tom Coughlin's era the importance of protecting the football.
And I also heard him, there was a question, that same question was asked to Coach McAdoo, and he responded by saying, you know, I feel like you just got to get the guy back and get his confidence in there, and we believe in our players, and just get him back in the game and tell him, hey, stop doing that and go out there and play. That was a little bit of, you know, not a direct quote, but it's...
Jeff Fiegel's paraphrase.
That's exactly right.
Hey, and I also want to know, is there a stat for when teams, like when people do lose the ball, whether a team can recover it? And if so, if it does continue with us, how is the Redskins against that?
I don't know. I would have to look up what their... you know what? I don't know how I would look it up for defense. You can look it up for an offense, compare the number of fumbles to the numbers of fumbles lost.
Yeah,
and that determines
that.
How good the offense recovers it.
But I don't know about the defense.
Well, no, forced fumbles. You had to take a look at the forced fumbles and the fumbles recovered for a defense. That's got to be somewhere, I think, right?
Yeah, it's very similar to the offense. Fumbles and fumbles lost and fumbles forced and fumbles recovered, I guess. So
I will try to find that for you, Jason, all right?
Hey, and last thing, Charlie called in early today.
I know.
Which kind of stole a little bit of my thunder because we haven't heard from him in a while. I was going to say, welcome back, Charlie.
All right, Jason. Appreciate it. Welcome back, Charlie.
All right. Well, thank you for calling from Denmark. We're not going to ask you what time it is because we know what time it is because we've asked you that before. So what time is it there?
201-939-4513. Let's take a look at our next call. Well, our next poll question coming up in just a second, but let's do a call first. And I lost my caller sheet here. Here we go. Hey, it's Len in Maryland. Len, how are you, pal?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Len. How are you, buddy?
What's happening?
Good. Everything's good. Looking forward to Sunday. I mean, we're 2-0, chance to go 3-0 and 2-0 in the division. Wow. That would be a great September. That would be a great start, right?
And always a very important game for Len. He doesn't want to have to drive back down to Maryland through Redskin country and, you know, get people throwing eggs at his house. He's sitting on his porch in his little rocking chair, and he's got people throwing stuff at him. Nobody wants that.
You gotta stop at Delaware House, and there's thousands of Redskin fans in there, and then you stop at Maryland House, and there's 1,000 Redskin fans in there. No. We want to win the game on Sunday.
Exactly.
Listen, you know, it's hard to imagine that Beatty isn't going to be the starter, but that's a whole different thing. I just want to say this about Hart. You know, for the time he was in there on Sunday, late in the game, he played fairly well, especially on that last drive.
Yeah, he was okay.
We got two long passes off, the one to Beckham, which he should have had, obviously, but the one to Beckham and then the one to Cruz.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy playing on that side for the Saints, Jordan, that defensive end.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's pretty good.
Oh, he's a good player, absolutely.
He can play.
Now, let me remember, there weren't a ton of snaps either.
He was giving Newhouse trouble.
Right, remember, Hart was only in there for a handful of snaps, and then three of those at the end of the game with him kneeling the football. So Hart only had about a dozen snaps.
I'm just saying that on those two longer passes.
He held up.
At the end, he held up.
Yes, he did.
He held up pretty good.
Absolutely right.
All right. Now, John, let's compare notes and work Jeff into this real quick. You said you had scouted the Redskins. You had looked at a lot of plays and stuff like that.
Yes.
Let's match what we see if we can and figure out what the heck a game plan might be.
Okay.
With regard to Cousins, John, here's the numbers I'm looking at. I think he's going to throw 50 passes. Or close to 50.
If he does, I think the Giants win, Len. I think that's a recipe for a Giants victory if him throwing the ball that many times.
Okay.
Wow,
and let me tell you why I think what you just said is correct. If he does that, I think the key number becomes holding him to less than 30 completions, which will be below his average. That means there's 22 incompletions. That probably translates, Jeff, into 8 punts. I think if they punt seven times, the Redskins punt seven times, that's another thing in our favor. I think this week there's a chance for a block on a punt.
It's a lot of plays.
I think there's a chance for a good kick return.
All right. I like where you're going on the special teams.
Their numbers aren't bad on kick coverage, but they're not that good. I think we can break one on. You know, number of punts, changing field position, maybe even breaking one and so forth, less than 30 completions. You know, Cousins' play action is going to be the key.
They use it a lot. But remember, in order for play action to work, Len, you got to be willing to run the football. And that's what Jeff and I talked about earlier in the show. They're only running it 20% of the time this year. If you don't put the fear of the run game into the defense, the play action pass ain't going to work.
Yeah, well, I agree. I've said about our run game, it's got to be just enough to slow down the pass rush.
Right.
Doesn't have to be terrific. I said the other day, 90 yards. Give me 90 yards on the ground for the Giants. I'm feeling good. But you know what he does off of that, John? He sprints out. He bootlegs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or he does not like to climb the pocket. He'll go outside before he goes up. If we can keep him deeper, let him throw from 12 to 14 yards behind the line of scrimmage, not on the run from 3 or 4. I think that's part of it. The defensive ends, maintain your lanes. Maintain your lanes. Don't get caught up in stopping that run game because it really is pretty feeble. I mean, it's not a good run game.
I mean, honestly, Cousins wasn't really pressured much last week, to be honest with you. The Cowboys, I think, had 2 sacks. I think they pressured him on only 2 or 3 other passes from what I saw watching the game. They forced one underthrow on a deep out route over to Pierre Garçon.
Yeah.
The Redskins offensive line did a pretty good job of keeping him clean, to be honest with you. And I think what you kind of have to do here, Len, is that where Cousins does his damage, and I'd love to get Jeff's take on this too, is trying to find the holes on those crossing routes. So, you know, those linebackers and safeties will have the opportunity to read some of those plays and make some plays on the football. We saw Barry Church make an interception in the end zone plays last week. We saw Sean Lee just miss an interception on a similar play over the middle where Cousins did not see the linebacker sitting there. And I think that was actually man-to-man coverage. Because it's hard, Jeff, when these these deep, long crosses to play man-to-man defense on those. It's hard for one guy to stay with DeSean Jackson running his 4-4 speed across the field. You need your safeties and linebackers in the middle of the field clouding those passing lanes.
Yes, Jeff, but if he does that sprint out, if he does that roll out, he does that bootleg, whatever you want to call it, and he's got nobody in his face, if we bite inside on that play action and he sprints out and he's got nobody in his face and he can be moving toward the line of scrimmage when he throws with wide open space in front of him, it's going to be tough. Those defensive ends got to keep the chase on and push him back. Make him throw from behind rather than inside where he gets the ball, you know, where he takes the ball when he starts to sprint out. Hey, the game is easy when you play it on paper. You got to go out there and do it.
Thank you, Len. We got to run.
You know, a lot of what you were talking about, it all predicates itself on getting pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, if the quarterback has time, those crossing routes take time to develop. And you're right. It takes a lot of effort and energy to be able to cover these guys all the way across the field all the time. Bottom line is get pressure on the quarterback. Don't let those routes develop. Turns into big plays.
Here's a great number I like this year. And we talked about Cousins being inaccurate on those deep passes, right? How many passes do you think the Giants have allowed this year of 20 or more yards through 2 games?
In two games?
In their two games, how many passes have they allowed of more than 20 yards?
Three.
Bingo. They've allowed three.
There you go.
That is second fewest in the league. Only the Broncos have allowed less. They've only allowed two.
Yeah.
And not allowing big plays is going to be a big part of this game, pardon the pun, because the Redskins will take a couple shots. And if you stop those few shots, make them, you know, matriculate down the field in a very methodical fashion, I think you'll have a chance to force some turnovers.
And when you think about why haven't they had those 20 more than, you know, listen, last year they gave up a lot of big plays. I mean, it was big play every other down.
It's cornerback play, man. It's cornerback and safety play.
It's exactly correct. These guys are on the same page. You get a second-year guy, Landon Collins, who's got all the experience in the world now that he didn't have last year. You've got corners that can stay with their guys, because honestly, the Giants' pass rush is not all that impressive up to date. And their sacks, it's just the secondary has been playing really good football along with the linebackers. I thought last week the linebackers played amazing. I mean, all over the place. Keenan Robinson was everywhere last week. And, you know, they put him – he was just – because of what Drew Brees was normally doing is throwing the ball, he was really, really good and very, very, you know, disciplined. And I think that's probably a word that we could use with this defense this year is they are disciplined. There's not a lot of penalties. And the only thing that they could get better at is getting some turnovers.
Oh, by the way, I missed it at 12:40, so I'll give the question now, which is my fault. The results from the 12:30 question first. Will Beckham lead all players in yards from scrimmage? 58% say yes, 42% say no. I would say no on that, simply because of mathematics.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with yes.
A little foreshadowing for Sunday. Our question that's up there right now, we'll for a couple more minutes, we'll have the results in a second. Will Olivier Vernon and JPP get their first sacks this week?
Both.
Will we get one for both?
Both.
Yes or no? Place your vote for the next couple minutes, then we'll have our final question in a sec.
I'm going to say yes to that. Because
wow.
And I'll tell you why. I feel like, listen, the offensive line for the Cowboys was obviously really good. I think that the O-line for the Saints was nothing to write home about.
Agreed.
But I think that the line for the Redskins is they're pretty good. And I feel like these guys just are ready. I think they're ripe. I think it's time. I think both of them get after it.
201-939-4513. Jeff in New Hampshire. He's up next. Jeff, what's happening, pal?
Hi, Jeff.
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Jeff.
Hey, so listen, I think the most important thing we can do this year is we got to get Charlie on staff as an offensive line coach.
Yeah.
Because, listen, this guy doesn't watch a second of practice. He doesn't watch a second in the weight room. And he already knows Will Beatty is better than Bobby Hart.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
That's impressive to me.
It is very impressive.
That's, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what else to say other than sign that man up. He'll get us over the top. You know, I'm like everybody else. I hope Beatty's healthy and can be an upgrade at right tackle, but in 2013. You know, fans fall in love with the name. They remember what the guy used to do. Well, guess what? He ain't that guy anymore, or he'd be starting. Jacksonville's offensive line isn't that good. So if they were really in love with him, like he said, they would have signed. So things got to happen, or he's not going to get on the field. Bobby Hart is probably better right now, this minute. Bobby Hart's probably a better guard than a tackle, but if Beatty's not healthy, he's not better than Bobby Hart. And the better guy's going to start. Easy enough. Just a couple other comments just on the some of Cousins' stat lines. I kind of think this is a case where the stats don't always tell the whole picture. Mm-hmm. You know, like staying with Jacksonville, Blake Bortles put up incredible numbers with yards and touchdowns last year, but most of them came at garbage time, misses the big throws when he needs to make them happen, that sort of thing. So I feel like Cousins, some of those numbers sound nice, but I think they're a little misleading.
Hey, remember, you know, though, Cousins did lead his team to the postseason. He led him to a division victory. He led the NFL in completion percentage. I don't think we have to take anything away from what Cousins did last year. Now, if your argument is he can't repeat that success over the long term and it was, you know,
I would argue
a fluky streak, that's an argument I can buy. But let's not take away from his performance last year. He was pretty damn good the last half of last season.
Yeah. I'll give him a little bit, but keep in mind, too, they won the division. Yeah, they were 9-7. Great. They didn't beat a single team that was in the playoffs. They still to this day haven't beaten a good team. So, I mean, you can go 9-7. I mean, we won a Super Bowl on 9-7. But, you know, look at the teams we beat along the way. Look at the teams we played close. Washington's still, they're kind of like, the Texans or the Bengals, they can't get that big win. Cousins hasn't got a big win yet to his name. They haven't beat a good team yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody is putting Kirk Cousins in the, you know, the Eli Manning, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees category. But, you know, he is competent. He can win football games.
He can. I'm not taking him lightly. Don't get me wrong. This game makes me nervous because, like you said at the top of the show, the first thing I've been telling everybody all week, they can't afford to go 0-3, and they can't afford to go 0-2 in the division. So I think they're going to be desperate.
Yep.
What I hope happens is we get off to a fast start, make them have to throw the ball a lot, make Cousins force it. You know, didn't he have a four-interception game against us last year or the year before? You know, we know there's some turmoil there on the sidelines, receivers frustrated with him. You get them making mistakes early, you get them in a hole early and make them climb out of that throughout the game, I think that's going to work in our advantage. So he doesn't scare me that much. I mean, he can get on a streak, but I'm not that worried about that necessarily. I'm worried about their tight end. We know we have trouble with tight ends from time to time. Mm-hmm. We keep him in check. You know, I'm not that worried about their offense. I'm just really not. The pass rush you guys were talking about, too, with the sacks and everything. We got to remember, too, I know JPP and Vernon don't have sacks yet. Sacks don't always tell the whole story either.
True.
QB pressures are really important.
And hits.
And
absolutely.
And hits. JPP didn't have a sack against Dallas, but he was real close like 3 or 4 times. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, right now, JPP, by the way, on the season, if I'm not mistaken. Let me get the number right before I throw it out there.
I think he has eight.
He has 8.5 career sacks versus the Redskins. He leads the team with 3 quarterback hits and leads the team in pressures with 8.
Yep. There you go.
There you go. He's looking like his, you know, getting back to being his old self. We didn't get a lot of sacks against New Orleans other than on the blitzes, but we know Breeze has a really quick release, too, so that plays into it. And then, of course, there's Dallas' offensive line combined with a mobile quarterback, so I'm not as worried about that. I think the sacks are going to come. But even if they don't, as long as the hits and the pressures are there, you know, guys are getting their hands up, clogging the passing lanes, that's just as important as a sack sometimes. So I'm not too worried about the sack numbers either.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call, pal. 201-939-4513. Our 1240 question, will Vernon and JPP get their first sacks this week? 82% say yes.
Ah, see, they're right with me.
18% say no.
They're right with me. See?
They are. And our final question of the show, we will give you the results when we say goodbye. Who is the most dangerous Redskin, DeSean Jackson or Jordan Reed? Who are you more worried about?
I'm more worried about Jordan Reed.
Now, Jordan Reed's a guy, too, Jeff, that is a tight end. They'll use him down the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tight end, but he's a big receiver if you want to go there.
He is. So
last year, just looking this up, in September 24th of last year, the Giants beat the Redskins 32-21. Jordan Reed had 6 receptions for 96 yards. And in the second game, towards the end of the season, he had 8 receptions for 98 yards. So between the two games, he had 14 receptions, almost 200 yards.
Yeah.
Last year.
Let's go to Connor in Binghamton. He'll wrap us up today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Connor, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to start. Jeff, want to thank you for your time with the Giants.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it, especially in that 2008 Super Bowl run.
Yes, yes. It was 2007, but...
Well, you won the Super Bowl in 2008.
Well, yes. Through the calendar, it was a 2007 season.
I know.
Yes.
I'm just trying.
But regardless,
give the call some backup.
My pleasure. Just great being a Giant. And listen,
it was your pleasure.
It was my pleasure, absolutely. Took me 20 years to get that Super Bowl, so I was very happy.
At least you got one.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, is Ben McAdoo calling the plays? He is, right?
He did last week.
Yeah, he has all year, as far as I understand it.
Yeah, I love the way he's calling the plays. I love just the new offense now that McAdoo is like the head coach, and he's really got his offense fully implemented.
You know, Connor, real quick, I just want to let you know, the offense is the same as it's been the last 2 years. He hasn't changed anything. So it's not like because Tom's not here, they change things. The offense is what the offense was. Just saying.
Well, I think it's, Well, I like Eli. He's throwing at something like 75%. So
73%.
I think just going forward, the offense is going to be a lot better.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, you know, what you like about the way things are going with this offense is that, you know, now this being the third year, I feel like, you know, Eli, and I compare this a little bit to what Kirk Cousins isn't doing. Kirk Cousins is trying to put a square peg in a round hole right now. He's trying so hard to get a new contract. Eli Manning is just sitting back there in his third year of a system. They have a new coach, but he doesn't really have a new coach. He's been working with Ben McAdoo for 3 years now. That's why you're seeing this offense kind of, you know, really ripen, so to speak. And it's actually starting to really look like a well fine-tuned machine, if you will.
Yeah, no, I agree. And can I make one more comment?
Sure, real quick.
Yep.
Yeah, I think out of all the studs on the defense, I think one of the more underrated guys is Landon Collins. I think going forward, he's going to be like a future Pro Bowler. I think him and Darian Thompson are going to be a real good safety duo for the years to come.
I hope you're right, and I think the Giants are feeling good about that too, to be honest with you. We'll see what happens.
I think they like the way he has grown up a little bit, and I don't mean in a bad way, like he was a bad guy. What I mean growing up is that I think that, you know, them baptismal by fire last year, 16
yep.
games played in them, got a lot of experience when on that team that was just – the defense was horrible – gets a little bit more help this year with the cornerback positions, and now he's got some safeties that can play.
Thanks for the call.
Definitely has helped his game, and I think he's taken on a little bit of leadership, too, this year.
Absolutely. Our poll question from 1250, who is the most dangerous Redskin? 67% Jordan Reed, 33% DeSean Jackson. We'll see if we can get that updated before we
those
say goodbye.
Good. I like those.
But we haven't played our game yet, Jeff, so we say four minutes.
Oh, that's right.
Jeff Fiegel's teammate?
We gotta get some music going.
Yeah, I still haven't done the production for this yet. Maybe I'll try to do that next week. But since it's a Monday night game, I'll have an extra day during the week to get ready for the game without a whole lot going on with media and stuff like that. So maybe I will try.
Who are we playing next? The Giants playing next
Minnesota
week.
Vikings, Monday night football.
Wow.
And we didn't talk about last night's game either. We can do that quickly after we play this game.
I only saw the second half.
That's all you need to see. It's why the Patriots are the Patriots, and it's why the Texans are the Texans.
Come on, seriously?
I know. They didn't even need the rookie quarterback to do anything except for throw a couple short passes and run it a couple times.
It's amazing. Houston just didn't show up. I mean, their defense could have at least given them a little bit of help, but they did nothing last night.
I was very wary about putting their full lot in with Brock Osweiler. My nerves have not been calmed so far this year.
Crazy what people will pay for.
He's just not that – you know, you get the feeling – that a guy is just in control in the pocket and he knows what's going on around him and he doesn't panic and he's always he's there. You don't see that with him to me. He's very jittery back there. He doesn't look that accurate. You know, it's like all those – I don't know. There's something missing there for me.
I just feel this game, you have got to have more of a sample size to give somebody $20 million.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, seriously, that's just the way I think. This game is too difficult to be able to really go out and evaluate somebody that just plays that in that short of a time to give him that much money to think he can do that. Now, I'm sure that Garoppolo is going to be the same situation that people are going to be like, wow, this guy is the next, you know, coming. He hasn't played that much. Okay. I mean, yeah, he's played well, but man, let's give him a year or so before we really start seeing what's going on.
All right, Jeff Fiegel's ready to play.
Turn your screen.
You are 4-2. You're on a winning streak, though. You've gotten, I believe, two of these in a row last week.
I'm closing my computer, so I can't Google or Wikipedia or anybody or anything like that. I've just got to plug in.
Were you ever a teammate of anybody named Maurice Johnson?
Mo Johnson. Yeah, of course.
Okay, very good. What team did you play on with Maurice Johnson?
What's up, Mo? What's going on, Mo? I'm just trying to figure out where I call him Mo, like in the locker room.
Worried that he was on special teams, and that's why you would know who he was. Too easy. All right, well, what team did you play with Mo Johnson on?
Okay, this is one of – okay, I'm – man, oh, man.
Maybe I caught him more than I thought.
Mo Johnson was with Seattle.
Incorrect. Okay, that's right.
All right.
If you get the next two right.
Was it the Giants?
If you get, no.
Okay.
Okay. I just remember the name.
All right. I'm going to be honest with you. I just remember the name.
Mo Johnson played with you on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, wow.
He was on the Eagles from 1991 to 1994. Oh. You were the Eagles from when to when?
1990 to
93. Oh, man. He was your teammate for 3 years, dude. What position did Mo Johnson play?
This is exactly why John wanted to do this show.
What position?
He wanted me to get these wrong so he can have fun. If you don't notice when I get them correct, there's no emotion in it at all. Right? Seriously. Right, Schmelk? Am I correct?
Oh, you're absolutely right.
I am absolutely correct. That this is a fun game when I get it wrong.
I take pleasure in your misery.
Of course you do.
It's just the type of person that I have.
Mo Johnson, he's a linebacker, right?
Tight end.
I still don't remember. And God forbid if Mo Johnson's watching this show, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Mo, if you are watching this show. I know you're not. And if anybody knows Mo Johnson out there, tell him I'm sorry, too. But it's a long time ago now.
At least you knew that you played with somebody.
I knew the name. And like I said, I knew the name. I do know the name. So, all right. Do you want to do one more?
No, it's 1 o'clock.
Okay. We don't. All right.
I will enjoy my victory. By the way, Mo Johnson played 4 years. He played in 55 games, started 21, 39 career catches, 371 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So, yeah, Mo Johnson had a nice little NFL career.
And where was he from?
6'2", 242 pounds, tight end, went to Temple, and was born in Washington, D.C.
That's kind of cool. He played for Temple and played for the Giggles.
And it would appear he was an undrafted free agent, because I do not see a draft pick listed in his bio here on Pro Football.
I know he played on the punt team, though.
I figured he did. Usually backup tight ends will play on the punt team for as a protector on the edge, which is why I thought you would know him.
I knew the name.
Well, yeah, but, dude, you weren't even close on the other stuff.
No, I knew the name.
All right, so that's a loss. Okay. You're down to 4-3.
Still ahead.
All right, everybody. Giants and Redskins. It should be a lot of fun. MetLife Stadium on Sunday. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time on Giants.com, everybody. Have a great day.